RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hi, I'm Michelle Melby.
And I'm Tom Milburn. Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Northeast Wisconsin communities.
And we're extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that ABC 6 News produces.
But we are concerned about the troubling trend of irresponsible, one-sided news stories plaguing our country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media outlets publish
these same fake stories without checking facts first.
Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control
exactly what people think.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
At News Channel 3, our responsibility is to report and pursue the truth.
We understand truth is neither politically left nor right.
Our commitment to factual reporting is the foundation of our credibility now more than ever.
But we are human, and sometimes our reporting might fall short.
If you believe our coverage is unfair, please reach out through our website.
We value your comments, and we will respond.
We work very hard to seek the truth and strive to be fair, balanced, and factual.
We consider it our honor, privilege, to responsibly deliver the news every day.
Thank you for watching, and we appreciate your feedback.
If there's ever conspiracy, surely somebody would speak out, and surely the media would report it. I mean, if somebody tried to expose corruption, how would the media ever keep it silent? That Sinclair Broadcast Group, giving us the quintessential demonstration of how one single media conglomerate can dominate the attention of upwards of 70% of America in 193 outlets across the country in nearly 80 markets. That's how. Season's greetings and Jeffers morning, perhaps. I'm sorry, it's how I feel this morning. Good morning. Good Monday to you. Welcome to another installment of what some of us might refer to as the Stanford Prison Experiment, otherwise known as America. I promise, by the way, to give you plenty of that dangerous personal bias and lots of those pesky unwanted facts without all the sugary, wholesome goodness of certifiable Bernaysian-grade herdthink propaganda. But I digress. In all seriousness, during this holiday season, I want to try and focus on the good, the redeeming, the virtuous. I want to make an attempt to a thoughtful attempt to sort of turn back the hands of time, as it were, which may sound counterintuitive based on the way that I'm starting here. But truly, I would like to, you know, move in that direction, as it were, the direction of the holy day and peace on earth, goodwill toward men, and reverence to God Almighty. I've mentioned several times the way that Arnold J. Toynbee put it in A Study of History. And his reference to this sort of concept, really, I think, is the emblematic illustration of sort of what I'm talking about. And so, you know, maybe we'll come back to that. But just the shift in language, and you see it in so many ways. I mean, I've talked about it before. What did I see recently? And I swear, the technology, you know, the autocomplete technology in particular, I really believe that some of it's been programmed on some level to mess with us, to sort of change language. I know, prophet. So I'll have to come back to this, but the word prophet versus prophet, you know, P-R-O-P-H-E-T, prophet versus P-R-O-F-I-T, prophet. there is a lot of commingling of those terms. And I've seen that in autocomplete recently, which, you know, reminds me of what Toynbee told us, the way that civilizations are changed in very profound and significant sorts of ways, regardless of whether people realize it or not. And that can be frightening, I think, disturbing. Here's a fun fact. One of those things that just vanishes. So I was just looking while I was talking about it. A study of history, one of the entries over at archive.org that was there is gone now. This item is no longer available. I have a collection of 404 items. This gets to another point that I was going to make, and so maybe we'll jump into that real quick. How ironic. Collection of 404 items, you know, things that vanish from the interwebs conveniently. Yeah. We'll come back to Toynbee. You know, the conversion holiday. So I want to move back toward the concept of a holy day. Reverence, you know, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, that sort of thing. Reverence to God Almighty, which John Adams reminds us that July 2nd should be. It's Independence Day. It's not the 4th of July. It's Independence Day. And what's the distinction? I always want to ask that question. Anyway, I want to move back in that direction. So speaking of things disappearing on the web, the interwebs, in a listener response segment of sorts, I suppose, here's a further illustration of the point I made during Timothy and Washington's call I believe it was last Thursday, regarding the role of the internet as an information source. By the way, the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. So Timothy correctly pointed out during that call, again, I think it was Thursday, during our conversation, that I had cited during that broadcast and others, obviously, internet-sourced content. But then, and I'm not trying to put words in anyone's mouth, I'm just trying to recount the conversation as I recall it. But basically, he tried to use that as a logical justification to think of the interwebs as a primary info source, and kept insisting sort of, you know, that I agree. Again, that's my interpretation of the conversation. I'm not trying to put words in anyone's mouth. So, you know, i.e. this, the internet source is to be more highly esteemed or coveted than book, so to speak. This was a point to which I wholeheartedly objected. And so to restate that, there are additional reasons like inflation, which I've mentioned, batteries, you know, what happens when the batteries go out, and so forth. But here are the two major reasons why I would prefer a book any day, every day, over the interwebs. Here are perhaps the two main reasons. First, the interwebs were, and always will be, the ARPANET, a military-grade cybernetic social engineering project. If you're not familiar, just look into the history of the ARPANET and who and what was involved in its creation. And a big hint, hello world. There's a reason that expression is always used, hello world. And, you know, that calls to my mind the book of Revelation. But continuing, for those unfamiliar or perhaps those you'd like to encourage afoot, may I say, there are two interesting examples, that notable examples that come to my mind. One, Jeff Nesbitt wrote a fairly pedestrian entry piece at Quartz last year, published December 8th, 2017, titled "Google's True Origin Partly Lies in CIA and NSA Research Grants for Mass Surveillance," which really sort of, you know, puts a lot of those augmented humanity remarks we've heard from Eric Schmidt in the last, you know, decade or so in a whole different context, I think, anyway. So that's interesting. It's actually a good piece. The quartz piece, I think, is a good entry point. And as fate would have it, Ars Technica just published an article yesterday, Sunday, December 9, 2018, by Cyrus Farivar, commemorating the 50 year anniversary of what's come to be known as the mother of all demos, at least in technology circles. Farivar's Ars Technica article is provocatively titled, 50 Years On, We're Living the Reality First Shown at the Mother of All Demos. And it's the story, including video footage of the actual mother of all demos, of what Douglas Engelbart and crew at the Stanford Research Institute, another fun little research project for those that aren't aware. It's their, what they referred to as the Augmented Human Intellect Project. Again, you think of this 50 years ago, you think of what Eric Schmidt's been saying over the last 10 years. This project that was run out of the Stanford Research Institute, Augmented Human Intellect Research Center. This is back in the 60s, based particularly on their 1962 working paper titled Augmenting Human Intellect, a Conceptual Framework. And it's actually a clip. I think maybe we'll play a little clip of that here in a second. But that's the first big example, or the reason why the interwebs are a social engineering project. And I don't want to be cybernetically engineered or studied, like to work through these issues. I don't want to consume information or anything else or be fed these things like, you know, herd animals. I'd rather learn and grow in knowledge and wisdom, if you know what I mean. So here's a little excerpt from the mother of all demos. Go ahead, please.
I hope you'll go along with this rather unusual setting and the fact that I remain seated when I get introduced, and the fact that I'm going to come to you mostly through this medium here for the rest of the show. And I should tell you that I'm backed up by quite a staff of people between here and Menlo Park, where Stanford Research is located, some 30 miles south of here. And if every one of us does our job well, it'll all go very interesting, I think. The research program that I'm going to describe to you is quickly characterizable by saying, if in your office, you as an intellectual worker, were supplied with a computer display, backed up by a computer that was alive for you all day, and was instantly responsive to every action you had, how much value could you derive from that? Well, this basically characterizes what we've been pursuing for many years in what we call the Augmented Human Intellect Research Center at Stanford Research Institute. Now, the whole session is going to be devoted to trying to describe and present to you the nature of this program, but unfortunately, the products of this program, the technology of it, lends itself well to an interesting way to portray it for you. So we're going to try our best to show you,
that's good,
rather than tell.
So, yeah, instantly responsible or responsive, You know, unfortunately, the cat's out of the bag. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Attention RBN listeners, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over Front Sight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come in an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Back.
So, yeah, that little clip that we played, Augmenting Human Intellect, a conceptual framework, the mother of all demos. That sounds an awful lot like something, doesn't it? Sounds like what we heard Eric Schmidt say a few years ago. And he didn't just say it once. You know, he said it with Charlie Rose, and a bunch of people said, wait, what did he just say? Charlie Rose didn't seem to be concerned. Can we play that whenever you're ready? Actually, we'll come back to that. Maybe we'll come back to that. We remember, right? Think of it as augmenting humanity, right? That's what he said. One way to think about it, about this is, you know, we're trying to make people better. You can search for stuff and you should just get one search result. You know, you're trying to search for things. We got all this, all these ways to do things. One way to think about it is we're trying to make people better. Better people. Literally giving them better ideas, better augmenting their experience. Think of it as augmenting humanity. You know, and from there you go to Scott Klosowski. We are going from mobile to wearables to implantables. Not maybe. We're going to. And so, you know, it's going to be tough. But anyway, I'm surprised that people don't jump up and go, who'd you talk about, Willis? You know? What's going on? I'm guilty too. Listening to Batman talk about CRISPR, I should have maybe, you know, raised some concerns, but it was more of a recon mission. So I just listened and watched what I think arguably could be construed as a little bit of a Delphi expedition there at the end, the Q&A session, allegedly. No one in the audience is disturbed by this technology and the prospects of it. You know, there's another article. Let's see. Speaking of all this stuff, Listverse, December 4 last year, top 10 scary facts about artificial intelligence. That's an, you know, your self-driving car might be programmed to kill you. Yeah, the trolley car dilemma. That's not real. You've never, not only have you never experienced it, you don't know anyone who's ever been confronted by the trolley car dilemma. It doesn't happen. You know, it's like infinity. It doesn't really exist, but we talk about it because it's fun. So this is what we're going to use to program artificial intelligence, you know, and so we hear about certain things, but yeah, we'll come back to that too, I think. The ways to, I suppose, you know, what you might call or describe as assuaging our troubled conscience. We talk about points of misdirection and logical fallacies that we're led to discuss in very controlled sort of fashion. Anyway, probably come back to that. So, speaking of, let's just play the Eric Schmidt thing and get that out of the way. This is what Eric Schmidt said. Remember this? On Charlie Rose. Go ahead.
Eric Schmidt is here. He is the CEO and chairman of Google. The company seems everywhere. If you're looking for information, chances are you might Google it. In search, the company commands 65% of the U.S. market. Then there's Google News, Google Earth, Google Maps, and more. But as the company has grown bigger, it has also attracted more regulatory scrutiny over its market dominance. All the data Google has about us also led to concerns about privacy. Meanwhile, the tech giant is pushing ahead in new avenues. It is placing big bets on mobile, where its Android operating system has gained market traction. It is investing in social networking, where Facebook is currently dominant. Later this year, it will launch Google TV, which will bring the web to TV screens. I am pleased to have my friend Eric Schmidt back on this program. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Charlie.
So you're here in New York for the Clinton Initiative, where you spoke. Where is Google today, and how does it see the future?
Well, of course, Google is first and foremost a search company, as you said. But we foresee a broadening, if you will, of a mission to really about information that you care about, information that you need right now. And so historically, what you would do is you would just type in a query, and out would come the answer, and it would come back really fast. But there's such an overwhelming amount of information now, and we can also search for things even without texting. We can search where you are. We can search with Google goggles and take pictures and see what you're looking at if you take a picture with your camera. So all of these mean a much broader opportunity for search and bringing the information that you need. One way to think about this is we're trying to make people better people, literally give them better ideas, better augmenting their experience. Think of it as augmented humanity.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on. And learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back.
A bit of a tangent there for a second, but disturbing, right? Remember when Eric Schmidt said that? I don't think that's hyperbole at all. Making people better people. Doesn't that sound authoritarian to you? That's technocracy. You know, people are beings to be, again, to have efficiencies applied to them. You know, you're not efficient enough. And so we need to give you the right answer for things. Imagine that. And there's more on that. Anyway, it goes back a long way. Again, Stanford Research Institute in Menlo Park. What is that? SRI, Augmented Human Intellect Research Center and Project. Think about it. 1962 working paper. Oh, what was going on during this time? What was CIA working on? MK Ultra, MK Delta in particular. And again, if Aaron and Melissa Dyke's documentary, The Minds of Men, is anything, to me it represents a sounding of the alarm to sort of reinvestigate, because in customary fashion, I believe the CIA used all of the congressional hearings and the drug information as a sort of modified limited hangout to draw attention away from the technology that now is, Google, Microsoft, Facebook, just mainstream and normalized. And people don't seem to have the crisis of conscience that they should about how alarming this technology is that has been admitted to be more addictive than heroin. So the point here, I suppose, is that it's the same folks that brought us the heroin addiction, the opioid crisis that I see advertised on Newsweek and everywhere. And we've seen it, you know, day after day, week after week, month after month. Same folks that brought us that. You know, the Taliban says that opium production is un-Islamic. But the guy who just passed away recently and his minions brought us all of this nonsense. I think there was a reason that that's another tangent. We'll get back to this in a second here, but first to the phones, Rhonda in Missouri, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris.
Good morning, Rhonda.
How are you?
Well, not too bad, all things considered. How about you?
Good. I was going to call last week, but I got a new search, and besides, I didn't want to interrupt your discussion about George Bush.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'm going to come back to that this week, and I don't think we can abandon that yet. I think that that's probably going to be a recurrent thing because, like I said last week, I really believe that the best way to look at George Herbert Walker Bush, at all for that matter, but particularly him, is really as Kevin Spacey's depiction of the Kaiser Soze masquerading as Roger Verbal Kent sort of character. You know, he walks around, he seems like a harmless sort of guy, but he was the devil incarnate.
Right. But your third hour on Friday, when mm-hmm. I tried to play your third hour, I get Patrick Slattery, which is fine, but when I want to listen to Patrick, I'll listen to Patrick if you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, that needs to be fixed. But
thank you.
But this is good because I contacted your board op too or whatever, you know, that mail thing. But this is good because you're on the subject I wanted to talk about anyway. So, you know, a week or so ago, I looked up technology and I found a video. You can go down a couple different directions, but one was from a guy called, his name is Michael Tellinger. Have you ever heard of him?
I'm not sure. I can't say with certainty.
Okay, well, he's in South Africa, and he's like, he grows up in South Africa, and you know when you grow up somewhere, you don't know any different, and he's like, he lives around all these interesting things, but it's an interesting video. It's called 2014 Ancient Technologies of the Fallen Angels. And then, so he talks about, in the video, it's interesting because there's sound frequencies he's regarding levitation
mm-hmm.
as a source of energy. And then, so I watched that one, and he also referred back to a time, and I can't remember where he said it was, but that a nuclear weapon was used a long, long time ago, which I thought was interesting. But then I went, and I was like, I mean, I know who Elon Musk is, right? But I was like, mm-hmm. No, who is he really? Okay, so this guy, Michael Tellinger, is from South Africa. And I'm like, what's Elon Musk's story? Where did he come from? I mean, so I looked him up, and then I saw that on your website you had a video, The Mysterious Lineage of Elon Musk, right?
When you say your website, are you talking about Republic Broadcasting?
I'm sorry, no, Road Warrior Radio.
I don't maintain that site.
Oh, you don't? Okay, well, I think it was on there anyway. So you didn't? Okay. You haven't seen that one?
Video?
Mysterious lineage of Elon Musk?
I don't think so. No, I haven't seen that.
Okay. Well, so I'm watching Michael Tellinger, and he refers to sound frequencies and levitation, and then I'm watching the mysterious lineage of Elon Musk, and one section, I mean, it goes back into his family's history and everything about his grandfather, who was a Dust Bowl farmer, and then he got into the technocracy movement, and so in one section, the guy was a little hesitant in talking about this at all. He's like, you might think I'm crazy, but he said that someone saw Elon levitating, but don't tell the Bilderbergers because they'll be mad. I was like, what? Anyway, that was interesting. But I had to wonder, too, why the Amish don't use technology, you know? Why are they so anti-technology? So anyway, but when I took art history when I was going to school for interior design, I was like, you know, whatever. They were trying to tell me that the skinny Egyptians built the pyramids with pulleys, and I was like, okay, whatever. I don't buy it, but whatever. You know, you have to answer the question right to get the right grade. But anyway, so it made me wonder who built the pyramids, really. Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, I started down that rabbit hole a little bit, not too far.
Uh-huh. No? Because I also had the thought that with all this technology, no one man can just come up with this stuff, right? And I think they're getting it from some nefarious source, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't you think? Yeah.
Absolutely.
So anyway...
Yeah.
I don't know if you're interested in watching that at all, but it was interesting. Michael Tellinger's. Plus, Elon was born in South Africa. I thought that was interesting too. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's all I had. Thanks.
Right on. Thanks, Rhonda. I appreciate it. Elon Musk is definitely an interesting character for sure. Who knows? Maybe we'll talk about that more at some point. Speaking of George Herbert Walker Bush, I'm going to have to come back to that, especially the JFK thing. They're just, you know, like I said last week, it's overwhelming. Today is kind of, you know, technology subject, but it's interesting, you know. 1963, I wasn't in the CIA, really. You just named your child Neil Mallon Bush in 1955, and, you know, Neil Mallon, a spook, another Yale alum. Anyway, yeah, maybe we'll definitely have to return to that discussion, but, I suppose before we get back to number two, because I was mentioning the two big reasons why I would prefer a book any day. We'll come back to that. But for now, back to the phones. Glenn in Philly, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Chris.
Come on, Glenn.
While they're busy augmenting people, do you think maybe they could add 2 inches to my... never mind.
Yeah. As long as it's the right answer.
Right, right. Does the trolley thing have anything to do with Mr. Rogers?
The Mr. Rogers trolley car dilemma. I think, you know, that's reminds me of mixing metaphors, you know?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Fisher get off the pot kind of thing. Anyway.
I don't know. What is the trolley thing dilemma?
The trolley car dilemma is, you know, where... It's that one of those social experiments they propagandize college students with these days, where they say, So, you know, you're in a trolley car, you know, there are many variations of it, but basically it's, you know, you're in a trolley car, and if, especially if you're responsible for driving the trolley car, if you come into a situation where you're going to run into people, do you run into 100 unimportant people and kill 100 unimportant people, or do you kill this one really important person? That's basically it.
Well, okay, I see. It doesn't. Let's see. That's a tough one. Anyway,
that's one of the arguments they talk about when they talk about programming AI to drive cars.
So do we kill billions of unproductive eaters, or do we kill off the geniuses, the genius Illuminati?
Speaking of that, you know, this, you know, part of one of the things that I think about when I think of these, you know, you think of Isaac Asimov's three laws of robotics, basically, and the first law is that a robot may not injure a human being, or through inaction allow a human being to come to harm. So the second is kind of an interesting little nuanced head scratcher, but you know, beyond that, I think it's a contrived discussion, because you know, back to Rhonda's point, I really don't think that we're talking about robotics and technology running itself. I think there's a reason why we keep seeing these dystopic scenarios, like the series Robopocalypse, for example, or you know, iRobot or whatever, where the machines suddenly come to life and decide for themselves that, but it's never that scenario. It's never that depiction. And guys like Jordy Rose tell us why.
My Roomba tried to eat my shoelaces. So, you know, I don't trust them.
Yeah.
You know, that Extendivite commercial, they've had a guy in Glenn, my own namesake, who says, it fixes dandruff 75%. It is athlete's foot. It's occipital neuralgia migraines, which, yeah, right there, using occipital neuralgia migraines kind of makes me question. And then he's talking with a couple things where they is like, it helps his potentially lethal cardiac dysrhythmias. Yeah, my heart would skip a beat. My head's like, dude, that's a potentially lethal cardiac dysrhythmia. Okay, so I think this dude's trolling them, and they bought it and put it in a commercial. It's like, yeah, my heart would just skip beats, and it was very uncomfortable. Yeah, yeah. We put people on monitors in the hospitals and give them drugs for that. And I was like, oh, my goodness. So I don't know, man. I think the dude's a troll. But anyway, I guess I was just curious about the trolley dilemma, actually. But books are good. I've considered numerous times getting rid of my old college chemistry books or some of my nursing texts, and I think some of the most useful books on the shelves are, well, A, you gotta have a Bible, and B, some of those like old Boy Scout field book things with really good first aid chapters and plant identification and edible, you know, edibles and how to survive. That stuff's really probably pretty useful to have in codex form, because you're not going to be able to Google it when the lights go out.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think I'll go ahead and keep my you know, one chemistry text, and physics text, my, you know, some just a shelf full of like at least essentials.
I think it's like everything else, you know, your natural inclination in most cases, you know, generally speaking, there are contextual nuances, but generally speaking, the natural inclination, I think, is to not get rid of those things. And when someone comes along and tries to encourage or suggest, hint, hint, that maybe we should, you know, I think that is sort of self-explanatory.
Well, it's or like that scene from The Day After Tomorrow, where they're all in the New York Public Library, and the one guy's like who's not even religious is protecting the Gutenberg Bible because it's like, you know, it's such an important piece of history. And the other guy chimes in and says, "Guys, There's a whole section on tax law down here that we can burn.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and speaking of that, I mean, man, talk about voodoo. You know, what did we ever do before the 16th Amendment in this country that was never properly ratified, the law that never was, two-volume series? But what did we ever do? It's just, you know, the reason I say voodoo, when you think about it, there's a reason it's called code. But think about how silly it is. You know, I think of Alan Watt and some of the things that he said. But, you know, think about how silly it is that the material facts don't change. You talk to one person and they say, oh, you owe this much. And you talk to another person who says, oh, I found, you know, if I follow the rat maze a different way, I get to a different piece of cheese and you owe this much. The material facts didn't change. Think about that. It's silly.
It's been oversimplified.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a creep.
Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour already. Unbelievable. So, speaking of things that come from nefarious places, the trolley car dilemma, or the trolley problem as they call it. What is it? Well, it's nonsense. But, you know, the trolley problem is something that kids are taught in universities today as a real moral dilemma. I suppose if you're a sociopath or a psychopath or a robot that has no conscience, then maybe this is an issue for you. But Wikipedia says the trolley problem is a thought experiment in ethics. The general form of the problem is this. You see a runaway trolley moving toward five tied up – remember the old silent movies? Anyway, tied up or otherwise incapacitated people lying on the tracks. Who thinks this kind of stuff up? That in a second. You're standing next to a lever that controls a switch. If you pull the lever, the trolley will be redirected onto a side of the track, and the five people on track on the main track will be saved. However, there's a single person lying on the side track. You have two options. What are these people doing tied up on these tracks? You have two options. Do nothing and allow the trolley to kill five people on the main track. Pull the lever, diverting the trolley onto the side track where you kill only one person. Which is the more ethical option? And again, this is a scenario that no one you know or have ever heard of has encountered. But people like Philip Afoot come up with these kinds of things. You know, who is Philip Afoot? An interesting character. You look on Wikipedia, British philosopher, interesting. Virtue, ethics, Aristotle, et cetera, et cetera. Deontological and utilitarian ethics. What does all of that mean? Normative ethics, analytic philosophy, blah, 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 blah. She was an atheist. Oh, that helps us. But skipping ahead, the rationality of morality. Why be moral? Why be moral? Early works, middle works, later works. Normal people don't have these, you know, you don't sit around spending countless hours thinking about and writing about, surmising, why be moral? Why be moral? It's reminds me of one of Tom Walker's Jonathan Pye segments that someone sent me recently, him talking about how, you know, you're not being anti-fascist is not a, you know, some kind of virtuous thing. It's the default setting, as he put it. So why be moral? Being moral is the default setting. We all agree, but it is important, you know, to do things from time to time. But hopefully we're all trying to do better day by day than we did today. That's the default setting, isn't it? So, you know, sociopaths and psychopaths are the ones that are trying to figure out what it means to be moral, I think. Says a lot. That'll do for the first hour, second hour coming up. Stick around. We'll be right back after a short break.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $400? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.